Prepare yourself to invest a few minutes with the Make Each Click Count podcast to discover new details and how to accelerate your sales and profits while making sure you're getting the absolute most out of your online marketing dollars. Hosted by Andy Spleichel, who's been running paid click campaigns for his clients for 20 plus years. Join us and discover what's working today and start making each click count. Without further ado, here's the acclaimed author of the Make Each Click Count book series, the founder of True Online Presence, the founder of Make Each Click Count University, and the host with the most, Andy Spleichel.
Welcome to the Make Each Click Count podcast. This is your host, Andy Spleichel, and we are happy to welcome this week's guest to discuss today's topic, which is throwing things on your website and praying will not yield some results. Today's guest is the co-founder of Invesp and the co-author of the book Conversion Optimization. A big welcome to Aya Shukuri. Hi, Aya.
Hello, Andy. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming. Now, the title of this podcast is interesting. It's throwing things on your website and praying will not yield results. And I paraphrase that from your LinkedIn description. So what do you mean by it?
So what we see a lot of companies do when it comes to conversion rate optimization is they'll just make random changes on their site because, you know, the hippo in the room, the person that's getting the paid the most bucks, decides that this has to change. And then thinking, okay, this is going to really impact and move our customers in the right direction. And then they're surprised, lo and behold, that that's not the case. Or we see so many companies say that we want to go through this big redesign, rebranding, I don't know what. And then they do it because thinking that that's going to get them the results, that's going to get them better conversions, that's going to get them more sales. And then they're shocked to learn that actually that doesn't happen.
Yeah, no, I've seen that before. I've also seen replatforming. And right. Thinking that you need to replatform and then the conversions will go up. Is that one that comes through common for you?
Exactly. We've actually had a recent client that they needed the replatform because they were on Magento and they wanted to replatform to Shopify, which is going to be a lot easier for them. But, you know, again, expecting that they're going to see the results, expecting that they're going to be up and running immediately, things take a lot longer. Things get delayed, development, you know, it's never within the estimates that you typically think. I think you always need to add a lot more. And then expecting to see the results immediately in your conversion rate also is not what happens. But when I talk about also this concept of throwing things at the wall and hoping that something will stick, I always get the example of, like, you know, if you have like a bunch of designers in a room, you can take a site and you can be like, okay, this needs to change. These look like they need to change. However, just expecting that because somebody said that's what's going to happen. You're going to see an actual impact on that is something that is incorrect. And certainly there has to be a little bit more research to anything that you do, right? You need to kind of like dig in a little bit deeper, look at analytics, do some more thorough, you know, investigation, look at heat map session recording to validate, is this really truly a problem that this site is facing? And if I present a solution, is it actually going to have a positive impact on their conversion rates?
So over the last year or so, conversion optimization, it's been a really big emphasis of my show. And I've had a few different experts who run different optimization companies on as guests. And I mean, everybody seems to know what they're talking about. So I guess my question is, how would an e-commerce company know who can legitimately help them when it comes to increasing conversion rates on their website?
I think you have to kind of look at... There's a few conversion optimization agencies that, you know, even we compete against that I think follow a process. I think it's super important that whenever you're investigating different agencies that are going to be doing CRO for you, you have to make sure that they follow a thorough process. Our process is called SHIP. It's really easy to remember, but it's not so different than what some of the other CRO agencies may offer. And what we do is we really emphasize the scrutinize phase, which is the research phase. Right? I want to do user testing. I want to understand my customers and conduct customer interviews. We conduct a certain kind of customer interviews called jobs to be done interviews. And they really give us a lot of insight onto, you know, again, like those deep social emotional aspects that really motivate the customer to move forward. And bringing that alive on your site is really going to change the game for you. Conducting analytics analysis, understanding where they're clicking, where they're going, you know, and then trying to uncover, well, why is this happening? Looking at session recordings and heat maps, all of that, you know, kind of compiling a list, a roadmap of information for you to kind of better tackle the different problems on a site in order for you to have more meaningful experiments that are actually going to yield results. And I also am not an advocate of just changing things. If I've come up with a problem and a hypothesis, I should probably test it. And I'm going to be able to give, you know, like an immediately see the impact of that particular change rather than having to wait, you know, and see not be able to measure effectively if this particular change had an impact on my bottom line.
Give me some examples. I mean, where would through research, you've seen a problem and then made changes?
So, for example, you might see that there is a high abandonment rate on a product page. This happens to a lot of e-commerce websites where they, you know, they get to the product page and for some reason they're not moving forward. That could be due to a number of reasons. You know, the visitor goes to the product page and the product isn't what was described. Perhaps they had a different idea of what that actual product was. Maybe the description is not, you know, giving them enough information. Perhaps it's difficult for them to even figure out what to do next or what's going to happen next if I add this item to cart. Perhaps, for example, they're at that stage where it's almost, you know, they're going to make a decision, but, you know, clicking on add to cart means, hey, I need to validate. Do I even know who this company is? Do I trust them? Is there enough trust and confidence in this company for me to actually move forward? So I need to have that, you know, some elements there that really impact the visitor. So it could be a number of different, you know, issues. You can look at kind of, you know, analytics and heat maps and session recordings to kind of give you an idea of like what you think is a priority issue that needs to be addressed. Are they even scrolling down to the description? If they're not, maybe I need to move that up. Are they, for example, you know, looking for further information? Are they going back to the homepage to understand a little bit more about the brand? If that's happening, if I see that within my funnel, then I need to probably address the trust issues right on that product page again, hit them with it once more time. Or maybe I need to add some sort of like incentive. If I don't have my free shipping, you know, like very clearly stated next to the add to cart button to really give them that extra push that they need, then perhaps I need to add that or the exchange policy, whatever it is. So there's a number of factors that you're seeing that abandonment rate, but then I need to kind of dig a little bit deeper to understand, well, what is the reason, the true reason why my visitors are not moving forward? And then I'm going to test different concepts to see which one is actually impacting them. And if I see that this impacted them at this stage, then perhaps I can replicate that throughout the site in different places.
When you start with a client, do you test everything, or are there some things that you're like, this has worked on 100% of my clients? Let's get this implemented right away. Let's get this implemented, and then we can start testing based on your results.
So we've developed something called the conversion framework. One of the first things that we look at when we're evaluating sites. So I always say that the first thing that you want to kind of look at are the bugs, right? That's something that if there's a bug, it needs to be fixed. If I'm clicking on something and it's bringing in a wrong result or a wrong link, or it's directing visitors to a 404, I need to get that fixed. That's not something that I would test. That just needs to be fixed. The second phase is UX. Look, you know, providing, this has been proven, you know, in our industry, that providing a better user experience on the site is going to yield better results. So we want to ensure that we're meeting the 10 heuristics throughout the site on all the different pages. And as I go through the site, so we do like a heuristic evaluation, we actually bring the entire CRO and designer team into that heuristic evaluation and we evaluate, are they actually meeting these standards? And if they're not, what needs to happen? Okay, so that's kind of the number two phase.
You know, you lost me right there. What are the 10 what, do what now?
The 10 heuristics. These are the 10 the Nielsen group basically came up with 10 heuristics that need to be addressed for a better user experience on the site.
Okay, and what are
So
those 10?
this is anywhere between from like, you know, ensuring that there's continuity on the site, ensuring that you know, that the visitor has orientation, ensuring that there's a minimalist design on the page so that the visitor, you know, there's less clutter and they can find exactly the, you know, primary goal that they're going for. So there's like a number of different heuristics that we will evaluate and ensure that you're just at least mentioning those, and maybe we can provide a link to what those 10 heuristics are in the footnotes of the show. But
That'd
that'll
be
be like,
great.
you know, something that I would say that's one of the first things that you should evaluate. Is the site on each page addressing these? And if they're not, then that needs to be addressed. Like, one of the heuristics also is, like, for example, error prevention. When there's an error, how is that error being communicated? Is it something that may cause the visitor to actually, abandon? Like, you've seen on maybe like a lot of different cart pages where they have like the clear cart link right next to the, next step link. Well, that's a mistake, because if you do that, then you're going to have a lot of people that are accidentally clicking on that, and then they'll abandon your site forever, and they're probably not going to move forward.
So you said that, I'm sorry, that was step two.
That was step two. And then the third one is what kind of like the more conversion persuasive. This is where I go into like, more the my user research. I understand a little bit more about those emotional and social aspects that are going to move my visitor forward. So I'm going to create a better engaging address, really, the value proposition in a better way, ensure that I'm communicating that, so that, again, I stand out amongst the crowd. Because, again, I need to understand, well, why are visitors selecting my solution instead of the status quo? Why are they selecting my solution instead of, for example, the hundreds of other competitors that are out there? What is it? What's that value add that my product or service offers that others don't? And I need to make sure that that's highlighted and communicated effectively on the site. And there's definitely different persuasive ways that we can test that and ensure that that information is readily available.
You had mentioned trust factors on the site as a big one. What are some of those trust factors?
So, for example, ensuring that there's some sort of social proof on the site. It's always funny when I go to a site and we find that, like, customer reviews are buried below, even on a homepage. You want to make sure that that's like kind of front and center. People see that, they trust that this company is reputable. People are talking about this particular company. Again, some people take customer reviews with a grain of salt, but nonetheless, having that does enhance trust. And if you make sure that it's from a third party, it can enhance trust even more. For example, if you have achieved any type of recognition, ensuring that that is also, you're like, part of an Inc. 5000, or you've gotten some sort of like recognition for your organization within your industry. We work with, for example, a moving company, and they've been like called one of the best moving companies in Texas. That's something that they need to put front and center, because that's going to enhance trust and confidence that this is a company that people trust. If you have press that has covered your company, ensure that, again, that is available so that people can see it and they can understand that, okay, this is a company that I can trust, and I'm going to move forward with them as a result.
You know, I heard somewhere, and I'd be curious on your opinion on it, that the number one trust factor that an e-commerce company can have on their website is a phone number. What do you think about that?
It depends. I don't know that it's right at this time, with just how the industry has been moving forward, that the phone number is what causes that trust, or it enhances the trust to that extent. We have tested with adding the phone number, adding it more front and center. I've always found that it has a better impact when it's a company that offers a service versus a company that, for example, offers products. It's not as effective. A lot of companies, for example, what we've done instead of phone numbers is adding like kind of a live chat feature, which has also enhanced trust and confidence, because, again, people want to know that there's somebody that they can reach. But what I've found is, hey, no matter what, trying to figure out like what is the information that they're missing. Why would they contact you in the first place? And making sure that that information is available on the site actually improves conversion even better.
So, what are some of the biggest and most common mistakes, even that you see websites making with their landing page that could negatively affect conversion?
Number one thing that I find a lot of landing pages, like the mistake with landing pages, is that there's not enough continuity between the ad and the actual landing page. So there's a disconnect. The visitor sees and reads information or a headline or an image on the ad. They get to the actual landing page and it's not replicated, or there's different information, or you're trying to, say a lot of different things on that page rather than that primary thing that they came for, that they clicked on. So that's kind of the number one thing. It's a matter of just communicating, ensuring that whatever they see in the ad, you're displaying on your product page, so that there's no confusion and they're not going to be looking for that information elsewhere, or they're abandoning because they think that they've gotten somewhere else, or they've, landed on the wrong page. One of the other things is just, again, having multiple goals on the site. Typically what I always say is you want to make sure that the primary goal on your landing page is clear. It doesn't mean you can't have other links or other like information and whatnot, but you just want to make sure that it's very clear to anybody who sees the page, the hierarchy, and that the primary goal is, front and center, and is very easy to access, and it's easily understandable that this is the primary goal, that an action that we'd like the visitor to take. And then the last thing is, I would say, just some key information sometimes is buried below the fold. Again, you have like a few seconds to kind of make that positive impression on visitors. So just make sure that the information, the most important information that you want them to understand about your product or service, is immediately accessible, and they don't have to scroll endlessly to find it.
For e-commerce companies, how much do you find that the platform matters for conversion? And we'll take for this, we'll look at the big three, the Shopify, the WooCommerce, and the BigCommerce.
So we've worked with companies that are on every single platform you can imagine, custom platforms, as well as, Magento and of course, the Shopifys of the world, and WooCommerce and whatnot. It does make a difference in terms of just the ease of change. So for example, a lot of times we'll recommend experiments, and it's just impossible if they're on a complex platform. Just in order for us to be able to run an experiment, there has to be so much backend work that has to be done, which, in general is not an easy solution. And we don't necessarily recommend that either, because whatever I want to implement, it's an MVP in the end, right? Like my experiments, any test that I run on the A/B test that I run on the site, it's an MVP for me to validate whether or not this hypothesis is true. If they have to do so much work, and I don't even know that this is actually going to have a positive impact on their site, because you can never know for sure in marketing, then, I definitely don't want them to do it. So the ease of making changes and being able to, get things in place definitely matters. And I think being on some of the big three, platforms, some of them are a little bit easier than others, but nonetheless, they are easier than what, like some of the custom platforms out there, or some of like the Magentos of the world. They're a little bit more complex, and they take a little bit more time from the visitor in order to be able to like make changes and implement. So it's like a much slower cycle in order to make changes, although, it's impacting their conversion rates negatively.
What software are you using to do your testing?
So we are agnostic. We'll use all sorts of software. If our client comes in with a testing software already, we'll use it. We use FigPi a lot. Actually, FigPi is a sister company of Invesp, so it just is a easier synergy, but we're pretty agnostic. A lot of our clients are using VWO or Optimizely. So it just kind of whatever they come in with, we'll utilize it in order for them to have a robust A/B testing program.
For a lot of companies, it's all about customer acquisition. How much of a company's resources do you think should be given to customer acquisition versus increasing conversion?
I think it's very important, because email is one of those ways that you can always communicate to customers and convert them. And it still tends to be, across most of our e-commerce websites, still one of those resources that is able to convert customers a lot better than others. So certainly, actually, whenever we start with a client, if we don't see that there's a good way that they're capturing emails and trying to acquire more information about customers, will tend to encourage that. And then, for example, if we see a lots of we get lots of contacts, and when we look at their traffic, if they don't have a lot of traffic, we tell them you need to be spending the dollars on Google Ads. You need to be spending the dollars on SEO in order for you to increase traffic, and then we can work on converting that traffic. We want to make sure that it's very targeted traffic as well. So we don't typically take clients with certain low traffic thresholds. We ensure that they are at a certain point, you know, in terms of the traffic that's coming in. We ensure that they're at a certain point with their conversion rate in order for us to be able to actually take them in as clients.
That's interesting.
Because
What are those levels?
so we want to make sure that they have like around at least 10,000 you know, like visitors coming to their site. And we want to make sure that they are converting you know, like at least 2% of those visitors. So in order for us to be able to have an effective program, otherwise it's going to be very, very difficult for us to run experiments. For us, we have to wait very long for an experiment to actually yield any type of result. So we're looking at, you know, again, the higher the traffic and you know, the higher the conversions, the more, the better that, you know, we're going to be able to actually have an effective program.
How would a company calculate ROI on hiring a conversion rate optimization company?
So actually what we always we've kind of rebranded ROI at our at Invest. We call it return on change because we're with all these A/B testing platforms, we're able to see the exact revenue impact that the experiment is going to have on your bottom line immediately. So because it is about that particular the impact of the change that I did on your site and what type of an impact that has on your bottom line. So we're calling it return on change, the change that you made on your site in real time. What is that impact and how does
And then are you forecasting that out over 12 months?
exactly. We forecast over 6 months
6 months.
because and then we have a depreciation model because we know that again, this the just like any type of marketing change, it's going to depreciate over time. Just to ensure that it's accurate and it makes sense. And you know, these results are what you would see with the rolling out the particular experiment. Now, again, we have some clients that, for instance, might not roll it out immediately, but we're just giving them that forecast of if you roll it out, you're going to see this type of an impact on your bottom line. But that's the nice thing about A/B testing. It gives you the immediate impact, the immediate revenue impact that that particular experiment has on your bottom line.
How much A/B testing is needed before it's statistically relevant? Does that come in the software you're using?
Yes. So most softwares, if you're using any type of software, they would typically have it built in to the software in order for them to, they'll calculate how, whether it's statistically significant, whether it's reached the, the sample size in order for it to reach that significance. Because you know, you don't want to turn it off too early and you don't want to turn it off too late either, right? You want to make sure that it's kind of like that right moment where, you know, the results are conclusive and you can actually kind of reflect on them and ensure that the results make sense.
And what about AI? Have you incorporated AI into any of your service?
AI has been excellent for content. You know, for example, if you're trying to look for like that right headline, it'll give you ideas. It's not necessarily that you're going to utilize exactly what ChatGPT comes out with, but you can still utilize it, leverage it, get ideas from it, and then kind of take that back and see, okay, this the way that it's explaining this particular value or the way that this headline is being outputted is a lot better. So you can kind of test with that. So that's right now, at this point in time, that's what we've used it for. We've also used it for analysis. So we do, of course, a lot of surveys. We do a lot of customer interviews. So sometimes we'll just input the scripts and we'll ask ChatGPT to help output some insights of you know, like what the thoughts are in terms of like, you know, are there potential areas of improvement? Are there some you know, some experiment ideas as a result of some of the scripts that we've or the you know interviews that we've conducted, and it actually you know comes out with some interesting ideas that maybe you may have not thought of. So you know we're trying to play around and leverage with it as much as possible, and I think I only see it increasing. I see even potentially being able to utilize it for experimentation and you know within these tools. I'm hoping to see eventually that A/B testing tools will also have an AI component that will kind of take it to the next step.
How important is the interviewing compared to just using analytics and where people are bouncing? I mean, how important do you actually define the actually speaking to somebody compares to using just the data?
Customer interviews are super important. I cannot emphasize it enough. I always say whenever I talk at different conferences, I always mention the importance of getting on the phone and talking to your customers. And, you know, sometimes there's a lot of companies out there. They're smaller. They don't have the capacity to hire a CRO agency. But guess what? You have this like gold mine of information, which are your customers. You know, offer them a small incentive and get on the phone with them and talk to them and try to figure out what are those social emotional aspects that are really driving them to make a decision and decide on your company. And how can you better highlight that information on your site? Because, you know, a lot of times you don't realize that this is such an important thing. I'll give you an example. We had a client that they put so much emphasis on the fact that they were green and conscious of the environment and whatnot. And they thought that this was a huge driver for conversion. It was everywhere on the site. And then just conducting some customer interviews, we realized that actually that was not a major driver for customers. It was a nice to have, but it was not something that was really driving their decision. Mobility, easy access. This company sold eBooks. So having the easy access to these eBooks and being able to, you know, access wherever, whenever, you know, their books for whatever classes that they had, and the features that were within, you know, the eBook, that was a lot more of an attractive benefit than being, you know, conscious of the environment. And again, it was an added benefit later that they thought of, but it didn't drive their decision, and it was never a consideration for them when they were actually making the decision. If they were choosing between buying a book, like a, you know, paper book, or an actual ebook. So, you know, so that's what the customer interviews revealed. Whereas, you know, again, the client had spent so much on branding themselves as this eco-friendly brand, but it wasn't something that was really impacting the decision of the customer in the end.
You know, the only thing that I hate to be a devil's advocate and play that. The only thing, if you're doing the customer interviews, aren't you? You're only speaking to people who have made purchases, mm-hmm. who actually like your product, opposed yes. to you're not reaching the people who left.
Right. So what I would say is the reason why, first of all, when we're conducting interviews, we always try to look for that customer that's a first-time customer. This is the first time they've ever been exposed to the brand, first time that they've ever purchased from the brand. Because again, these visitors, and we try to get them within the first 3 to 6 months of purchase, not more than that. Because again, I want to get fresh in their mind why they went with this brand versus other brands. You know, because in the end, they did make a decision. There's people like to say that, hey, like, you know, this was a very spontaneous decision. And, you know, like I didn't put any thought into it. But then when you dig deeper, you're able to find, no, people did put, there is a need that they have. There is a job that needs to get done. And this product or service filled that job. So I need to understand that. What was it? And how do I make sure that I highlight this information more? So, you know, true to what you're saying is that you're not talking to customers that you lost, but there are still ways that we can reach those customers that you lost, like from like, you know, surveys. And like, we do like lots of abandonment surveys just to understand, why are you leaving the site? You know, like, why are you abandoning at this point? What are we not providing you with? Again, like the questions would be a lot more better formulated and we'd have to wordsmith them. But you get the point that you can still try to understand from those customers what the reason is for them leaving. But understanding also the purchase and why they decided is really critical. And it can really give you some emotional and social aspects to their decision-making that, you know, you can highlight more, you can utilize their copy more, like the words from the customers, the actual customers, into your copy more in order for you to really be a lot more persuasive on your site and attract other customers that may have not realized that you have this aspect or this value or whatever mm-hmm. it is.
So when you reach out to them, I mean, do you offer them an incentive, I'm guessing, and you ask if you can record it?
Yes, absolutely. So that's kind of immediately you let them know we're going to be recording this. And it's only shared internally. We're not going to be sharing it with anybody else. So you can just make sure that, you know, they're aware that they can trust you from that perspective. And yes, we offer an incentive because typically our interviews run anywhere between 30 minutes to 45 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. They're really long. And it's a lot of recalling information, trying to understand, you know, that first event that happened that led them to your brand, trying to gauge a lot of, you know, like the decision-making process, what was going through their mind, what was happening, why they decided again with your brand versus others. So there's a lot that goes into the interview. So yes, expecting somebody to jump on a 45-minute call with me, impossible. We're either going to offer them a discount directly from the e-commerce site, if it's an e-commerce site. But if it's not, like for example, we work with a moving company, like I told you before, they offered like an Amazon gift card.
So how do you get, I mean, do you call them and say, do you have time for a 45-minute con? I was thinking it's like five questions you ask and
No,
it's a, like
no.
a 5-minute conversation.
It's a in-depth conversation for sure. So what we do is we usually will ask our client to pull like the first-time customers, because we don't want repeat customers. So they have to pull a list, and customers that purchased within the shortest period, maybe like 3 months ago. So they'll remember, it's fresh in their minds. And then we'll ask them to email them a survey, because we want to do another layer of validation that these are the right type of customers that we want to target. And the reason why we do this extra layer is because we get a lot of stragglers that come in between. They'll pull the email list, they'll think that they're first-time customers, but then they turn out not to be. And we just want to ensure that they really are, and they are the decision maker. We don't want, for example, oh, my wife's the one that made the decision, but I'm going to jump on the interview with you. We want to kind of avoid that. You know what I'm saying? Because again, then I can't gauge from that person any information. And so then, and then once we do that, then we'll see the list that comes out of the form. If these customers are validated, we'll send them a second email and tell them congratulations. We're going to schedule this with you. Here's the Calendly link that you can schedule this on. And then, once the interview is completed, you'll get the gift card. And we
What
really
kind of participation rate do you typically get?
it
It
depends on
seems.
I'm going to tell you, it depends on the industry, depends on the client. Each client is a little bit different. We worked with a company that sold like tints and vinyls that cover cars. And participation was rate was very low. So it really depends on the type of customers that you have. So we might have to send out more rounds of emails, or, reach out to more customers in order for us to be able to get the customers needed for the interviews. But we're only looking for 5 to 7 customers, no more than that. That'll give us enough base information. And then typically we'll follow up with a poll or a survey afterwards to validate whether or not the findings from the interview are indeed what the rest of, the customers actually feel.
So what services do you offer for customers? We've gone through a lot of stuff so far.
So does any what I described to you, all the different services that I described to you are really a conversion optimization project. So we only offer two different services at Invest. One is a conversion audit, where we'll just go through the site. We'll do all of the evaluations that I mentioned to you, like the heuristic evaluation, the conversion framework evaluation, the analytics audit, and come up with a roadmap of experiments that you can conduct on your site on your own if you don't want to engage with a full-time conversion optimization project. Everything else that I described to you is within conversion optimization projects. We'll do all the research, but then we actually do everything from A to Z of implementation of the experiment, reviewing the results, learning from the results, taking kind of those learnings and kind of assessing whether or not there are other opportunities based on the results and the learnings that we gained from any experiment that we run. So that is all under a conversion optimization project that we run at Invest.
And how do the fee structures work?
So it is a monthly retainer. And typically, if you want some sort of a discount, typically, like if you engage with us for 6 months to a year, because that's where we see like the best result. Because we always say conversion optimization isn't like a on and off switch that you can just turn on and off. It's something that's really long term in order for you to get that impact and those results. So yes, it could be the discounts usually if you engage with us for 6 months or 12 months.
And what is the monthly retainer?
Monthly retainer, I believe, begins at around 8K and co can go up to 18, depending on the number of experiments that you want us to run for you.
Got it. And do you have a favorite success story of a client you could share?
Favorite success story of a client. I mean, we have a client that we've been working with for 3 years now. And the transformation that we have seen on their site and the impact that our program has had on their bottom line has been so tremendous. And obviously, that's why they continue to work with us. So that's always amazing. I think whenever we see clients like, just staying with us and really believing in the program and kind of seeing what the results can yield and working with us. I mean, I think like that's the thing about conversion optimization. We really are really hands-on and we work a lot with the team itself within the company because, nobody knows that brand or service like the company owners do, right? And so you kind of get that information, you work with them, you kind of understand what their business goals are, and then you align your CRO and your testing program based on that. So those are always amazing success stories, and like we really appreciate clients that that believe in CRO and see kind of like the value in it.
And who is the perfect client for your agency?
So we work with a lot of e-commerce sites. This year, in particular, I would say 2023 and 2024 has been interesting because we've gained a lot more service industry clients. But typically, before that, they've been e-commerce, any doing anywhere between, I would say, 10 to maybe $20 million in revenue. They typically will have like a smaller marketing team. Or sometimes no marketing team at all. We usually, in a lot of companies that we work directly with the owners of the company or the CEO. Again, they're not the ones that are making the decisions. They have some other people that are there, but they're usually involved in the process as well. But yeah, I mean, those are kind of some of the customers that we've worked with in our sweet spot.
And how can an interested listener learn more about working with you guys?
You can visit our site, investcro.com. Our blog also has some really great conversion rate optimization information. I think it's what investcro.com/blog. You can visit, me. You can email me, I guess, or I have like lots of whether it's LinkedIn or whether it's on Instagram. I'm very active on Twitter. I'm very active. It's just my first name at Ayat. You can just find kind of insights and information about us there.
Well, this has been great. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap it up today?
No, I mean, I think I would just say that the first aspect of conversion optimization is always like the research part. So I would say, even if you're not conducting any testing or you don't have the traffic to do so, just make sure that you're doing the research before you make a change to ensure that you've kind of looked into it. You're not just making a random change because you do want it to stick and you want it to have that impact on your bottom line.
Well, this has been great. Thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you, Andy. It's been great.
For listeners, remember if you like this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us an honest review. And if you're looking for more information on Invesp or connecting with that, you will find the links in the show notes below. In addition, if you're looking for more information on growing your business, check out our podcast resource center available at podcast.makeeachclickcount.com. We have compiled all of our different past guests by show topic and included each of their contact information in case you would like more information on any of the information discussed in previous episodes. Well, that's it for today. Remember to stay safe, keep healthy, and happy marketing. And I'll talk to you in the next episode.
This has been the Make Each Click Count podcast. Remember, those that want to make more sales and profits online, listen to this podcast. The ones that want to discover how to do it faster, invest in themselves and their business through Make Each Click Count University. Join our private Make Each Click Count Facebook group or send us an email to info@makeeachclickcount.com. We want to know who you are and any questions that you may have regarding online marketing.